This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Professor H.J. Mackinder. We've been speaking of Beijing from the point of view of Washington and Los Angeles. However, now we're in Beijing. Professor, it was not only the walk and talk with Emmanuel Macron, and I was puzzled. There did not seem to be any translators with the two gentlemen. And I wondered what language they were speaking in. French? Chinese? Unlikely.
I think they're both unlikely. Maybe it was Esperanto.
However, France was not the whole story in Beijing. What Beijing knows very well is not only are they required to forgive all those Belt and Road loans they made because they're never going to be repaid, but they're out of cash. Here's an anecdote. For weeks now, I'm told by someone with business on the mainland, manufacturers in the Pearl River Valley have been calling around looking for business. Have you got anything we could do for you? Last week, there was a change of weather. They're calling around, they're looking for work, but now they say they've raised their prices. And the puzzling response was, you've raised your prices in a slowdown, in a contraction? You don't have enough business and you've raised your prices? Why? The answer, Beijing ordered us to raise our prices. So I would say Xi Jinping has more troubles than whether he speaks French or not to Emmanuel Macron. What is Beijing's point of view, Professor?
Well, the short answer is that Beijing is in a terrible situation. They need money simply to pay for their government. They're essentially bankrupt. They owe trillions of dollars in foreign debt, much of it dollar-denominated. Even a city like Shanghai is bankrupt. People are, unemployment is tremendous, and they have no idea what to do. And the reason is, first, that this is a very hard problem. It took a long time to screw things up this badly. And the second thing is that Xi doesn't really know anything about economics. He's completely concerned with politics. And he's unwilling to listen to people who know about economics because he believes that the future of China is pure socialism and that the kind of very, very messy combination of dictatorship and foreign trade that led to some real development in China, not to be overstated, but some real development after 1978. He considers that all to have been an aberration that he has to reverse. But if he reverses it, then they have no income. I won't go into detail, but their economy is just in terrible shape. And this is obvious by inspection if you go to major Chinese cities. They're also in a very, very difficult foreign policy situation because they used to have this wolf warrior diplomacy where they were expanding all over Southeast Asia. But the Southeast Asians have now turned and they have bandwagoned, as it were, with the United States. A very good example of this, two good examples, are Malaysia and the Philippines. And China, of course, claims that all of the territorial waters, et cetera, of these countries are Chinese property since time immemorial. But the Philippines did take this to the International Court in The Hague, and The Hague determined that this was not China's territory under international law, and China has simply ignored this. And they have been extraordinarily inept in their diplomacy. For instance, Mr. Marcos, who's now president of the Philippines, made a trip to China, and he was received, and they talked about how they could have a wonderful, peaceful relationship and all the rest, and win-win. He was given the full treatment. And then he went back to Manila, and I think 2 days later, Chinese so-called Coast Guard cutters, or they're small naval vessels, and hundreds of Chinese armed fishing boats started pouring into Philippine waters. and warning the Filipino Navy to leave. And when the Filipinos said, look, this is our water and you get the heck out, the Chinese used military-grade lasers to blind the officers and crew, blind them temporarily in this confrontation. And Marco said, well, you know, what is going on? How stupid did they think I am? That I'm going to go over and I'm going to agree to peaceful coexistence and all the rest, and then they're going to come out and zap my people with lasers? So now Marcos has opened up a whole series of bases that are vitally important, that they threaten China very, very much if China wants to go on doing what she's doing, having foreign forces, and for that matter, Filipino forces in these places could cause problems. So the Chinese are now saying, well, why are you Filipinos? You're living, you mustn't have a Cold War mentality. And it's not selling. And the same is true of Malaysia. The Malays are very, very unwilling to be drawn into international confrontation, but they do have a lot of water, which has oil under it. And now, having espoused a win-win kind of cooperative policy, the Chinese Navy is trying to drive the Malays out of their own waters. And the Malays are, they're tough, and they've got allies. So what we have seen China do is complete an encirclement of herself that America could never have accomplished had we wanted to. This is the fruit of their own stupidity. And it's hard for me to see how this is going to change. There are a number of figures in the Chinese foreign policy establishment, notably Madame Fu Ying, who was ambassador to Australia, who was a Mongol ethnically. And she published a thing the other day, which has now been taken down. But she says, look, we've got to understand the situation that we're in. And if we go around beating up all our neighbors, they're not going to love us the way they're supposed to. So I think that China is very dangerous. They've got more weapons and everything than anybody. But they are without leadership. They're very, very divided. And they're an accident waiting to happen.
Let's go to Taipei, which had a good week with Tsai Ing-wen, and stops in New York, stops in Central America, stops in Los Angeles, ending the week with a Chinese demonstration of hostility, warplanes in the Taiwan Strait, but no blood was drawn. Professor H.J. McIner, International Relations, commenting on six capitals, six points of view. The new capital this week is Taiwan, the winner of the week in geopolitics. Friends of History Debating Society, I'm John Batchelor.